Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, welcome to Be Love, Do Good Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Hayes, and today I am giving you 6 tips to raising kind kids. And I first want to preface this with, my kids are not always kind. Okay, let's just get that in the open right now. But I have worked with enough parents and kids for the past 15 years when I was in youth ministry, when I worked with parents, to know what some of these families did to raise some really kind kids and some things that we've adopted. The funny thing is that I think we've kind of like laxed on some of these things. And so I actually had a family meeting after I did this podcast, edited it, and I was like, wait a second. I'm like, I think my kids need to hear this podcast. We need a little refresher. So this is just a quick 10 minute on 6 tips that we can do to help raise kind kids. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it inspires your family. So today we're going to be talking about raising kind kids, which sounds like dreamy. Oh, let's just raise kind kids. I think it's probably a little harder than that, but I think there are some things that we can do to really get our kids to think about being kind to others and to also have just an empathetic, open heart. So I'm going to give you 6 things, and we're going to go more in depth in our coaching email, but right now I want to share some with you. The first one is use the language of kindness in your family. What that looks like is what's your tone sound like? How do you answer questions? How do you ask questions? When I was researching this, and I got this, and I'll name the source. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But when I was researching this, and this was the one, use the language of kindness in your family, it literally halted me in my tracks. Because when I really think about, do I have a kind tone with Grant, my spouse, every day? I don't. I'm short. I answer questions quick. I don't really sometimes think in my head, oh, how can I be extra kind to this person today? Sometimes that doesn't even come in my head because we've been married almost 20 years. We know each other. We love each other. But that doesn't mean I don't need to have the language of kindness. I've been really trying to do that this week. I don't know that he has noticed or if it's been different, but I know that I have because I've been more cognizant. Same thing with your kids. Use the language of kindness with your kids and make sure that they have kindness together. So one of the things that we started when they were very young is we never let our kids talk unkind to one another in tone, in the way that they made fun of each other. It just was never allowed. From the minute they were able to talk, and we shut that down really quick. And I think that's important to just have a family that knows that they can't talk to each other in certain tones or in certain ways because we love each other and it's important to be kind. So that's the first one. Use the language of kindness in your family. The second thing is, as a family, brainstorm ways to practice kindness. This is something you could do at the table. It's kind of like when we talked about the love languages and how do we receive love the most. For me, it's very different than Grant and vice versa. So the same thing you could ask your family around the table. How do you receive kindness? What are some ways that I can show you kindness, maybe above and beyond? Maybe write those down and really be thinking about that. I was in an office the other day and this guy, I was sharing an office with him and it was his office, and above his computer, he had all these little thoughtful things that he could do for his wife. It was like 10 things. And I loved it because I knew that he'd probably asked his wife, what are some of the thoughtful things that she liked? They were very simple. I mean, it was like, you know, say this, or, you know, maybe buy me a, a special coffee, or I mean, really simple things that he could do. But I also loved that he put this list on his computer where he could see it every day and he could always be thinking about it. So maybe he could do one or two of those a week. So as a family, brainstorm ways that you can be kind to one another. The third one is insist on kindness and respect in all family interactions. It's kind of like the first one, but again, just to reemphasize, make sure that even when you're discussing hard things, even when you are disagreeing, that you have a tone of kindness in that. And don't be afraid to say you're sorry. So many of us have maybe had political discussions in the past, you know, year, and we disagree and there are things that are different. We've had a lot of those discussions even in our own home where we've disagreed. But the thing is that even when you're disagreeing on something that you're maybe passionate about, is to just carry a tone of kindness and love throughout those interactions. And you can do that. You can disagree, but still be kind to one another. Number four is model kindness as a parent. Model kindness in word and deed. Here's what I'm talking about. When you're with your kids and you think they're not paying attention and you're at the coffee shop and the barista is super slow and maybe like not even that nice, the way that I interact with that person, my kids are watching. If I roll my eyes, if I say, ugh, they're the worst, or I say something rude or mean, my kids are watching that. My kids are watching that I'm not being kind. They listen and they watch you all the time. So it's so important that we are always modeling kindness in our interactions, even in interactions we don't think that they're actually listening to. Maybe it's not a direct interaction to them. Maybe it's an interaction with someone at the grocery store, you know, whatever it is. I always try to make it a point to say thank you to people who, you know, are cleaning, are serving us in some way, whether it be like a cashier or a waiter or waitress, just to be extra kind because my kids are watching that. I always love the phrase that it's more caught than taught. And I think that is so true. I think the more teenagers that I've worked with, I've had 15 years of working with teens, and when I ask them, why they are the way they are. Maybe they're extra kind kids. And I say, what did your parents teach you? And they'll say, I don't really know. But usually they're modeling that behavior. And so they start to catch on to that. So make sure that you're modeling kindness in all your interactions because your kids are watching. The fifth thing is get your kids out of their comfort zone to build empathy. And I've talked about this before when we talked about serving. But I've heard it a million times. I know it's changed my life. All the people I listen to on podcasts or interview on our podcast, Be Love, the thing that I walk away with every time is that experiences change them. Expose your kids to different things, things that are not like them, people who are not like them, people who look different than them, who act different than them. Expose them to all kinds of different things, because it's the only way that you can really build empathy for others if you go and you spend time with others, that you walk in their shoes, that you sit and you listen and you say, tell me your story. I know it's really different than mine. I want to hear your experiences and what you've gone up against. And I'm telling you, when you take your kids out of a comfort zone and put them in a new place, it exposes them to different things, and they do start building that, I like to say, like an empathy muscle. Like you start to strengthen that muscle. So every time that you expose them to something that's different and you go out of your comfort zone and you really look and notice others, that's when that empathy starts to strengthen. And I've seen it even with my own kids. They don't ignore people on the streets. You know, we have a lot of homeless where we live, and we just made these homeless bags for them, and they're watching. They're wanting to find someone that they can give it to. And so, you know, make your kids aware of what's going on and expose them to other things.
As we come up the holiday season and into the new year, many of us parents are exhausted. We've been planning and attending all the celebrations, buying the gifts, and putting intentional effort into making memories for our kids. And if you're feeling like you don't have everything together, like you're being pulled in every direction and just tired, you're not alone. But I invite you to pause and enter into Jesus' invitation to rest. I want to tell you about a new devotional book that's perfect for starting this year off right. It truly was written with the exhausted Christian in mind. The devotional book is called Rhythms, and it was written by Christian Parenting's partner, Ministry First 15, a devotional resource that helps you connect to God daily. Each day of this beautifully designed 28-day devotional invites you to break away from your normal rhythm of waking, eating, working, sleeping, to discover a scripture-based spiritual rhythm that, when practiced, will lead you into a more vibrant, abundant life in every way that matters. Even in the midst of the craziness of life as a parent, Jesus can and will give you rest, and Rhythms will guide you in that direction. For more information and to get a copy of Rhythms, head over to cpgive.org. That's cpgive.org.
The sixth thing, the last thing, is I think it's important to watch shows, read about people who are showing kindness. I want to read this to you because it's so interesting. The good news is that having kids watch compassion and kindness in action has beneficial brain effects. Another Harvard study tracked the serotonin levels, the chemical found in Prozac and other antidepressants. They tracked the serotonin level of students who watched a video of Mother Teresa caring for the poor people on Calcutta and found increased levels of serotonin in their saliva. So what we learn from this study is that what you watch, what you read, what you see, it matters. Kindness is good for your health. In addition to increasing serotonin, it also increases oxytocin, a hormone that fosters bonding and connection, and it lowers blood pressure. Kindness bathes us in dopamine, which enhances mood and motivation. And if that's not reason enough to teach our kids about kindness, I don't know what is. I just encourage you, and I'll go over these six things again, use the language of kindness in your family. Maybe this week, just think about just how your tone is with your family. I know I'm going to be doing that. Brainstorm ways to practice kindness. Ask your people, how do they receive kindness? What would they love for you to do to make them feel a little extra special? 3, insist on kindness and respect. Don't let your kids talk down to one another. Don't talk down to one another, you and your spouse. Model kindness in word and deed when you're out and about. 5 is get your kids out of their comfort zone to build that, strengthen that empathy muscle. And 6, watch shows, read books about people who are showing kindness.
Hey everyone, I just want to thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode, and I really hope that you were able to gain some tips and tricks to help your family in the kindness journey, or maybe you just need to review some things that you've always done and maybe become more relaxed, kind of like my family, that I needed to have a family meeting the other day and say, hey, we do these things. Why haven't we been doing them lately? So I hope you were inspired by that. Thank you so much for just investing in this podcast. I just encourage you, if you have not left a review or subscribed, those are things that truly bless us and something that helps others find our episodes. Thanks so much for being love and doing good in your communities. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.